like, I'm having my hosts, I'm having my staff look you up on social media, get your pictures. So, you know, we're a smaller restaurant. We have the ability to do it. Might not be able to do it in a larger, larger size restaurant.
Okay.
But if you've never come in before and I see Nicholas Crown on the reservation, we're going to look you up on social media. We're going to find your picture. And my host is going to say, Mr. Crown, great to see you.
That feeling of lesser than, I mean, this is my hot take. I think it's an engineered feeling of lesser than, because when you feel less than, you're inclined to overspend, to enforce and to pump up your status.
Of course, you have to compensate.
Yeah. And you compensate in a direction that you wake up the next morning and you said, oh shit, I overdid that.
I refer to it several times as the perfect sound. It's almost calming for me when you hear the plates kind of clanking and silverware clanking and, you know, the dishwasher, you know, letting out steam and flames going up from the pans. And, you know, you hear the kitchen yelling and the tickets printing and people talking and laughing. You can barely hear the music, only at certain times, the door opening and closing and all that stuff coming together. That is then our product.
Ginu Bartucci.
Yes.
Dude, welcome to the show, man. This is the episode where, like, I have all these episodes of tech people and all these, like, I'm just like, fuck this. I want to hang out with Gino.
I love it.
I want to hang out with Gino. I want to hang out.
I'd like to hang out with you either way, podcast aside. You know,
I appreciate
what I mean?
That.
Yeah. You have a certain vibe when you walk into the restaurant, certain vibes, certain looks, certain, you know, I'm all about it.
So. I appreciate it, man. So for those who don't know, Gino owns Gino Italian on Randolph. I mean, it's a hot restaurant, but it just feels good. It just feels good. Every time I walk in there, I mean, you got me, I feel the vibe. The food it's old school Italian, but it's updated. Your f-ing spicy gnocchi is a game changer.
Soon to be world famous, man.
World famous. Your accolades now are top. Can you fill me in on some of these accolades?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where to begin. I've been doing this for so long. You know, I've gotten everything from, you know, most eligible bachelors in the city to top cannabis chef, to 30 under 30, you know, on several food reviews, top 50 in the industry, you know, up and coming superstars. Yeah. I mean, I guess the list goes on.
Yeah. Damn. But it's one of those things where, You really bring that Chicago warmth. It doesn't feel like New York in there. It feels like Chicago, and you've got me hooked. And now I'm there at least once a week. And how do you, we look at the beautiful dining room. I look at the beautiful dining room. Running a restaurant is probably one of the craziest fucking things that you could do.
I would say the most crazy after doing it.
The most crazy.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars for build out. Investors, chefs, how many people are in the restaurant running this thing?
Right now, I think I'm up to just that location, about 70 employees.
70.
Yeah. And that's only half the space. You know, we're still opening the Marty space of Gino and Marty's. So once we do that, I mean, we're going to have well over 120, 130 people.
120 heads.
Yeah.
Where do you begin to build something like this?
You know, it's so tough because you have so many different types of people that come in. You have, you know, from your back of house to your front of house is literally night and day of types of people, of those experience. You know, I'll be helping some of my younger staff through some of their first dates, coaching them through, you know, life milestones. And then I literally am helping some of my people stay out of jail. You know,
right.
And on the opposite spectrum.
Right.
So I'm literally, I'm their legal consultant. I'm their personal therapist. I'm their life coach.
Right.
And then I'm also, I'm also kind of, the hammer that has to drop and put them in their place every once in a while.
Right. Cause you're managing the business.
Yeah. You wear several hats, you know, and it's, it doesn't really matter. You know, they always say like, oh, go in business for yourself. You know, you have freedom. You can do whatever you want. Work for yourself. Uh-huh. But really, I work for every single one of those 120 people.
Yeah.
Like, they're my boss.
Yeah.
And I'm not a good boss or leader unless I'm doing everything I can to work for them. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that. You know, there's what comes in this business is a lot of ego. You know, I've been able to failed enough and been humbled enough to where you have to put your ego aside, and that's where you can really thrive. When it's not about you, it's about everybody else, including your customers.
It's almost like as a restaurant owner, as a chef, they expect you to walk in, start banging plates and yelling at people and having that hot temper, which I don't know. I haven't seen that side of you yet, Gino.
Ask the right people.
Yeah. I was like, I'm like, shit. Yeah.
I smash a couple plates a week.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So do I. But it's the experience is on two levels, right? You're managing 120 heads, right, who are delivering that Gino's experience, that Gino's Italian experience. And then you're coming out to talk and to interact with customers, which for me, you know, if we ran the fucking data on that, that's the ultimate. I made the new Threads platform. I said, there's no high higher than having the chef owner come out and say hi to you mid-meal.
You know,
there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, what is cooler? Why do you go out? You know, I think food, drink is all very important, right? Mm-hmm. Service, very important. But these are all aspects of what is a bigger, you know, human experience, right? Those are just ingredients to the recipe. You know, the final product of that recipe is an enjoyable memory, an amazing night out, looking back with your friends saying, oh, last night was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not necessarily saying that plate made our night, that drink, you know, without that drink, the night would have been the same.
Right.
You know, it's a mixture of the music, the people, the chef coming out is super old school. Any big boss back in the day, any wealthy person, any person with power, that is the ultimate sign of respect. And I grew up in the days of having that like old school maitre d' uh-huh. in the restaurant. Like, what a position of power.
A personality too.
Everybody knew that maitre d'. That yeah. maitre d' was the gatekeeper. That maitre d' was the person that created that experience. Uh-huh. And you don't see that in restaurants anymore. You know, in every restaurant, everyone's just a number. You're just a bullet point, a decimal place, mm-hmm. on an Excel spreadsheet. My customers have names, they have faces, and I want them to be acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people don't do that anymore. And that's part of what I think makes me different.
And it's that that rotating cast of characters. So you show up at the restaurant, it's someone different in the front of house. You're like, oh, you know, I eat out a ton. I grew up studying and eating out with my dad. My dad I was fortunate enough, he would take me to the fucking greatest restaurants in the world. And he'd say, hey, this is why they're doing this. This is what you should order here. This is why this place is designed this way. This is impossible to get into, you know, whatever it is. Like, I was like this kid just getting, seeing these, a peek into the restaurant world at a really young age. And I'm to this day obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with the symphony of all the things coming together and all the personalities and all the environment and the food is to me, it's one part of it, but it's so much deeper than that.
You know, I love you call it the symphony because I refer to it several times as the perfect sound, that I hear that makes me comfortable. And I didn't realize it until doing this for a while, that it's almost calming for me when you hear the plates kind of clanking and silverware mm-hmm. clanking and, you know, the dishwasher, you know, letting out steam and flames going up from the pans. And, you know, you hear the kitchen yelling and the tickets printing and people talking and laughing. You can barely hear the music, only at certain times, the door opening and closing and all that stuff coming together, creating a harmony, a symphony of chaos mm-hmm. that is then our product.
Right.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. That is something I'm addicted to. That's what keeps me motivated.
Oh man. It's the, what you're hearing is you're hearing the sound of being alive.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is. And no matter how you feel, no matter how like down in the dumps you might be or tired you are, as soon as that sound hits subconsciously, mm-hmm. it's fucking showtime. You know, the curtain is up and it's time to rock and roll.
Yeah. And it's something that you walk out of your house, you put on a clean shirt, walk out of your house, you walk in and you have the ability to join that energy. You have the ability to get that high and sit down if you go to the right place. Mm-hmm. And to me, value for money, you know, I'm always thinking about what am I spending my money on? What was really meaningful? There is no better place to spend your hard-earned money than in a great restaurant. to take yourself out, to take yourself, you know, you and a date, to go out with family and friends. There's nothing more rewarding for me than going out to a great restaurant. And it can change your entire, it changes your entire day. You've had a rough day.
It should. It should right. change your entire day.
Right.
You know, that's like a lot of restaurateurs act like they're doing you a favor by giving you that reservation mm-hmm. that they don't have or letting you come into their restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, and I try to take that a step above, because even if you didn't come in regularly, let's say it's your first time here and there's some notes, you know, that you're so and so and, you know, you might be at this caliber person. I'm having my hosts, I'm having my staff look you up on social media, get your pictures. So, you know, we're a smaller restaurant. We have the ability to do it. Might not be able to do it in a larger size restaurant.
Okay.
But if you've never come in before and I see Nicholas Crown on the reservation, we're going to look you up on social media. We're going to find your picture. And my host is going to say, Mr. Crown, great to see you.
Yeah.
And now you're seen. That matters, right? You didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. Right. And isn't that such a great, refreshing feeling where even if you had a shit day, a shit week, a shit month, a shit year, you're now on the top of the world for that 2 hours.
Sure.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Mr. Crown. Good to see you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's get this started.
And that's priceless.
Yeah.
Do you know why all the get rich quick books fail? They enforce a map that worked for the author that won't work for you. Why are you learning about digital ads when you'd prefer to set up a booth at a trade show and learn from customers face to face? Why are you reading about dropshipping when you're passionate about music? See what I'm saying? My book, The Entrepreneur's Field Guide, provides the tools for you to make your own map so you could feel more connected to your work, make money doing something you enjoy, and give back to the people you care about most. I wrote this field guide not only from my own life experience, but from interviewing top entrepreneurs weekly on my podcast. With the tools in the field guide, you simply can't fail. You'll learn about intelligent pivoting, or what I call iteration, why you already have a multi-million dollar idea in your head, and why you can ignore every hot market you think will make you money so you could focus on the things that you actually enjoy. Or as I like to say, it's not never give up. It's never give up iterating on things you like until something works. Get The Entrepreneur's Field Guide right now at nicholascrown.com. Okay, now back to the show.
Being recognized and being, like you said, being seen is currency, at least for me. I mean, yeah. It's taken years to figure this out, but I just want to be seen and recognized, for God's sakes.
Doesn't anybody, isn't that what we do as humans?
Yeah.
And even if you don't want to be seen on a mass level, you want to be seen by your loved ones. You mm-hmm. want to be seen by friends, by family, you know, by subservience, by people above you. Mm-hmm. You know, isn't that what all human beings just want to be seen and noticed and a little attention paid to?
Yeah.
Right.
And to get that right, you know, it's on one hand, it's like, it's the, you have kind of a CRM, right? You say, okay, we've got a database of customers, but it's real. It's authentic. You're in the business of seeing people. You don't have to do this.
No,
Gino,
Yes. No, I really don't. And it is exhausting. It's emotionally exhausting other than the physical hours.
Right.
Right. Like the job is exhausting anyway. It's emotionally exhausting, you know, putting yourself out there. You know, and it does affect a lot of personal relationships sometimes, you know, when the curtain drops and the show's done, I don't have much left
right.
for myself, for, you know, some of my family or loved ones, my girlfriend, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the things that sometimes people don't talk about. But yeah, I truly love to do it. And you have to love what you're doing and put it out there because it means a lot to everyone else.
And you have to nail it, and you have to wake up and nail it again.
Yeah. And do it again and again and again. Doesn't stop, man.
I was watching a clip of yours and you said, you know, it takes four flawless experiences to get someone, to win someone over,
yeah,
who's going to say, okay, I'm a Gino's Italian guy for life, right?
Sure.
And I'm going to come back and come back and come back. I'm going to celebrate my birthday here. I'm going to bring my kids here. I'm going to bring my friends here. I'm going to have my dad show up with eight friends.
On that subject, love meeting your dad.
Come
from the same cloth.
Amazing.
Had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
scary.
Probably still awake from the espresso martinis.
He is. My dad had a few espresso martinis, everybody, and the... the dosage was lethal, I think. Yeah.
You forget you're actually drinking espresso.
Right. Turns out there's an actual shot of espresso in every espresso martini. Who would have thought? But I mean, well, the reason my dad even is kind of like, oh, I need to go to Gino's is because we had such a great experience together. And I brought him there to show him a slice of my favorite part of Chicago and my neighborhood. So it's this. Yeah.
So see, that's the key, though, because you've been in a couple times to where you wanted to share that with someone. Mm-hmm. Now imagine you sending in someone like your dad. A friend from out of town, maybe someone you're doing business with. Mm-hmm. That person that you might be doing business with could potentially be a relationship that will make millions of dollars and insane connections and an unrealized amount of benefit for you in your life.
Sure.
But then that one restaurant recommendation that totally sucked and doesn't know what he's talking about could have potentially put that at risk. No,
100%.
Okay, so yeah. Something so menial and so little. Even your dad saying Nick doesn't know what he's talking about. I brought him to the best restaurant since he was a little kid.
Right.
Now he's recommending this shit.
Uh-huh.
It matters to me that people recommend that, and I'm going to work to make sure that not only my product look good, but you don't look and feel like an asshole because now I lost your business too in the process.
We're talking about identity in a way.
Yeah.
It's almost like I identify with what you've built. It's almost like liking a band, you know? You're like, you know, for me, it's like the Black Keys. The first time I heard the Black Keys, I was in the Corner Bistro in the West Village in New York City. Might have not been 21 years old, but you know, come at me now, guys.
No, we're not looking at dates.
We're not looking at dates. The bartender, who's this dude that I just thought was the coolest guy ever. He had long hair. He had a fucking Panerai. I'm like, I'll never be able to do this, right? And he just reluctantly would hand us a few cold ones every once in a while. And he put on Thick Freakness by the Black Keys. It was the sickest thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. And basically, I became obsessed with the Black Keys, became obsessed with blues, and ultimately ended up chasing that dream way further than a sane person would ever do down in New Orleans. That's a story for another time. But I identify with that band to this day, right? There's almost a piece of me wrapped up in it. And I think we do that with restaurants so that if we do make that recommendation, we're really saying, hey, this is like a little piece of me.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I feel that weight, and I never want to disappoint that, which is part of the reason it means so much to me, you know?
It's heavy, man. That's heavy.
No, that's really how it is, you know? And, you know, people say, oh, if you love what you do, would you do it if you didn't get paid for it? Well, yeah, I've been doing it for fucking many, many years and haven't been paid for it, you know, and I've realized that, you know, it's not always about the money, what drives you, and there is a level of power that I have and I can give based on that result. So my customers mean something, your recommendations mean something. And I think that's eventually what's gonna separate me in a new market, you know, being that old school person, you know, with a modern twist.
Old school person that's not that old.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm looking at it, I'm like, you, where did this come from? Is this the sort of energy that you saw from your family? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
And you just said, okay, I'm going to take the good stuff. Because, you know, not all old school is good.
No. And
There's some old school that I'm like, all right.
I've been blessed to be brought up in a super old school environment. Mm-hmm. My family businesses have been around for 40 years. Old, north side, Chicago's Little Italy, they call it, on Harlem Avenue.
Okay.
Outside of Elmwood Park, Oak Park, River Forest, Norridge, that area. They still keep their books in books. You know, there isn't a computer.
No QuickBooks, baby.
They don't even accept credit cards.
Okay.
You know, like they're that, like if you want to write a personal check, like they'll accept it, you know.
You guys have a pasta.
Yeah. Sure. It's called Pasta Fresh.
Okay.
And we support the majority of Italian restaurants, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Chicago is buying pasta from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I was the food and beverage director at the Dana Hotel, which was the top three hotel bars in the nation when I was running it. I won several awards for top party of the year.
Okay.
From Nightclub and Bar Awards in Vegas. I've threw some wild, amazing, one of a kind, memorable events through that hotel. We don't have to get into that too deep. But that was my way of going out and getting and making my own bones.
Okay.
You know, getting that experience, that a little bit of corporate touch, understanding marketing in a bigger kind of genre, and then taking that back to what I grew up knowing. And there's very few people, there's very few competitors of mine that have seen both of those worlds. So I thought maybe my angle is combining the old and the new and making it Geno.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody else can touch that or take that away from me.
Right.
You might be better in the newer versions, or you might be old school and out of date.
Right.
But very few people are hybrid that I consider myself.
Yeah, then you're a market of one.
Yeah.
There is no way. So this is what we call combinatrix in the business world. It's like, I'm 30% this, I'm 30% this, I'm 30% this. Multiply it together, you're 0.00001 in terms of rarity, right? So you're like, I got nightlife. I got homemade pasta. I've got old school Italian cooking.
Yeah.
And I've got hospitality.
Sure.
And then put all that together and you go, cool, there's no one else on planet Earth that's going to fucking do this the way I'm going
to
do it. It
would take you a lifetime to be able to tell that story, as it's taken me a lifetime to do.
Yeah.
So why compete with, where others all try to compete with?
Sure.
Have some balls and do it your own. Create your own market.
Yeah. It's the bravery of doing it your own way. It's funny. It's so scary and it's so exhilarating to do it your own way. But it's not going to work the MBA wood shopped, this is how you build a restaurant way. You're going to go out of business that way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to be real with yourself, though. You know, it takes a lot of self-awareness. Mm. You know, sometimes like in this business, you have so much charisma, and I'm such a great salesman, right? If I wasn't doing this, I know I'd be a salesman selling something somewhere. You know, and there's been plenty of moments where you look in the mirror and you're like, okay, well, maybe I'm selling myself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm that good where I believe my own bullshit for a second. Maybe I don't have what it takes. You know, I see the way you're doing it and I'm trying to do it that way and it's not working. Maybe I'm lesser than, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. Instead of just saying, you know, be the man you are, trust it, do it wholeheartedly, and then become the man you're meant to be. I don't know what man I'm meant to be. And I don't think I've even come close to reaching that peak of where I'm happy to be and where I should be and where I would eventually be known as in my life. But I know every fucking day I'm being exactly who I am.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it makes me more money or less.
Right.
But you have to trust in the process, I guess.
Well, the only thing missing is just time. If you're putting in your all and it's authentic and it's great, what I like to say is, do something until there's a round of applause. You're getting the round of applause.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you.
You're getting the round of applause.
Thank you.
Then just keep going.
You know, but still, for me, that's not good enough. I feel like I just got to the league. You know, people are like, oh, you know, Geno, you're doing all these great things and, you know, you have the hottest restaurant, but, you know, you didn't see that. It was 20 years in the making.
Right.
You know what I mean? You didn't see how long it took to get here. Like, it's a surprise to you that Geno is this person or Geno's Italian is hot. Mm-hmm. We're like, if you've known me for 20 years, you knew it was a matter of time. You know, like I always felt like this was, in fact, this should have happened many, many years ago. And I'm kind of angry it hasn't.
Right.
And I put that anger into my work every day to make sure that that's not lost or taken away from me. You know, I just got to the league. I haven't won league MVP yet.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because it's like when you peel the plastic off, right, on the window, right? I'm making this up. I've done this before. I'm like, you peel the plastic off the fucking window. I was like, you peel the thing off the chairs. I don't know if there's a thing on the chair. And you just say, it's not I made it. It's almost like, okay, this is actually day one.
Yeah. And for me, that's how it is. That's how I think of it. You know?
And you have to imagine that there's a lot of people that pull up to this business with a big bank account and think they can roll. And they feel like opening the doors is day 100 when it's really just day one, or it's really day negative 100 the second it opens.
Well, you know, and you're surrounded by a lot of people too. You know, even some of my partners will, you know, be enjoying the fruits of the labor, you know, sometimes a little too much. And that's where the ego comes in and you get wrapped up into what you're doing and you forget that, you know, that we're on to something great. And that's the first step of a world of possibilities if done right.
Right.
Or we could look back and have, you know, 3 to 5 years of a whole lot of fun and stories. And that's that.
And that's that.
Yeah. We're all temporary. You know, we're all everyone thinks they're indispensable and no one's going to be able to do it again.
Right.
Until you, you know, force the fact that people can't live without it. You know, that's what I'm trying to do.
What are the temptations and dangers in the restaurant business? Because they're unique and there are many. What are these things? What are the perils to avoid in the restaurant business?
I mean, you know, first off, you know, statistically we have one of the highest suicide rates of any industry. We have one of the highest rates of depression, mental health, substance abuse. You're constantly your hours, just doing the job at the lowest level is already physically and mentally taxing. You know, some people say like, oh, I work really hard this week, put in an extra 10 hours. What'd you do? 50 hours? Mm. What'd you do? 60 hours? I shit on 60 hours. Mm. I'll do 60 hours across a 4-day period. You know, that's nothing. You know, like I'm putting in 12, 14, 16 hour days sometimes. I'm not bitching about it. I don't need credit for it. But doing that alone is enough. Now you have substances constantly around. What comes with wealth? What comes with fun? What comes with people coming out?
Well, you're in an environment that's fun. There's alcohol served. Well, everyone feels good.
You know, guys with power, guys that can open opportunities, guys that have money, like that. There's a constant temptation to be everything that you might not need to be or want to be. Mm. And it is around 24/7. You have to really have some mental fortitude, and you have to have some patience. And sometimes you need good people around you to remind you, hey, reel it in, take a step back.
Right.
Breathe a little bit, you know?
It's easy to forget that it's a business when you look around you, right?
Well, especially when you embody it, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be on the floor, I'll be doing the thing. I'm part of the lifeblood of the restaurant. You know, I'm a beating heart that is combined to this network of nerves and veins. And, you know, like we are an operating being.
Right.
And it's hard to sit back and say, okay, well, let's look at the profit and loss sheet.
Right.
You know, when you're putting on that show constantly.
Because when you come over to say, hey guys, this is, you know, my grandma's recipe. This is where we get the mozzarella from. This is whatever. Oh, and by the way, cheers and happy birthday. You know, whatever. Good to see you, Mr. Crown, whatever. You know, you're being honest.
Yeah, no. I am.
You're having a good time.
Genuine in my execution.
Yeah. But this is just one thing that I kind of like always prod and poke at. I guess on my show and in life, where some people think that this whole kindness and humility and this thing can kind of be faked, where you can manipulate people with kindness. You can manipulate people with courtesy. And I call bullshit on that every time because we're emotionally intelligent. Some, you know, more so than others, you know, me, I'm like, right in the middle of the range,
still learning.
I'll figure it out one day, guys. But I still know when someone's full of shit.
Yeah. Well, that can only last for so long, you know, just like any lie, it's temporary.
Yeah. You know? And you're going to get found out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you are lying for the short period of time, you better make sure that's the truth before that lie comes to fruition. You know, like it's one or the other.
Well, no one wants to be manipulated.
Yeah,
no one wants to be emotionally manipulated. And it's so funny. Like, you know, I'm here in Chicago. Everybody, I'm investing in Chicago. I fucking love this place. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I just came from Miami Beach. The culture there and the restaurant culture is very, very different. One of the areas, okay, that I will highlight is if there is a sense of connection, it's fleeting. If there's if there is this sort of TLC, it feels as though it's been manufactured. I'm not calling out all the restaurants in Miami Beach, but a lot of the hot restaurants, you just go, is this even real? Is this like a real, am I really having an experience, or am I having a synthetic night out where you give me this thing and the thing comes out with a fucking gold leaf on it and feels great.
Try not spending money there for a couple months.
Impossible.
Or the next time you come in, your check average is just, you know, a percentage of what it was that first time. And see if you're treated the same way.
Oh, man. The fuck.
You know, in fact, I'll be the one, if you're getting bottles upstairs at the speakeasy late night, I'll be the one to say, hey, Nick, we had a great time tonight. It's a little late. You're a little drunk. Party's a little drunk. Don't buy that extra bottle.
Right, right.
You know, it's not about that immediate sale. It's about the long-term relationship. Because I want you to come in several more times. Those places, though, the minute your, the well is drying up.
Yeah.
Or let's say you just want to come have one cocktail. Are they treating you the same as you did when you had a group, when you had an ATOP and you were dropping 10, 12 grand?
Right.
No, they're
definitely not.
They don't give a shit about you.
I don't even feel comfortable going in and having one drink or one plate of food. I feel like I'm persona non grata.
Well, yeah. And there's that pressure that now you need to be someone you're not. What are you talking about? Isn't that taking away from the humanity of it and your human experience?
Sure.
You know, and I understand they have numbers and quotas, but if you make all your decisions based on numbers and quotas, they will be the master of your domain, and you'll have to answer to number and quotas the rest of your life.
Right. And so the incentives there are misplaced. Yeah. You say, I've got to make this math work for this piece of real estate, whatever we did to build this fucking thing. And you're like, oh, wait, what about showing people a memorable experience and making them feel seen, making them feel heard, making them feel special.
It's a balance of both. You know, upstairs, especially after dinner service, it's not a large space. You know, in order to make the money we should be making, it's about $100 per square foot.
Okay.
One human being takes up one square foot of space.
Right.
Now, I technically, by math, if I'm letting you upstairs, I have to say, you know, Mr. Crown, like I have to look at your bill and make sure you spent at least $100.
Right.
If you don't, what am I going to say? Hey, all the other times you came in, all the future times you might come in.
Yeah.
You're not hitting my math tonight. Sorry. You're not getting let up tonight.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of places do. And I would never. You know.
I mean, that you just described something that is I've experienced, and it's almost considered normal.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we've got the group chat. With
now you feel bad or lesser than if you don't spend that $100 immediately upon coming in. Now you're obligated to spend.
But I also like what you said, because it's you just want to be you, right? Because that's when you're being you and authentic. That's when you feel comfortable. If you have to turn up every time and blow it out, you know, on a Thursday, you've got a meeting at 9 a.m, but now you've got sparklers attached to champagne bottles. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. You know, you're not going to do that every single week.
Sure.
You know, and I'm coming by.
What happens on a Tuesday night when you're trying to have dinner with your dad?
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's the difference, though, that's the human experience. And I think people lost that in our industry.
It's short term versus long term thinking.
For sure, man.
They want to make the bag now. Yeah, they want the briefcase with the smoke popping out.
I got a 30-year lease. I want you to spend money across that time period.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a long fucking lease.
I'm not trying to blow your load in one night.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm trying to build a relationship here. You know?
Yeah. That, my friends, is called customer lifetime value. So it's like, if I get you to spend $5,000 tonight on a steak that comes out of a briefcase and people sing and brand it with a freaking horse brand, and you go, well, I'll never come back here because I now can't afford my car payment. It's just playing this game any other way, I guess there's just certain markets where it's so pressurized, it's so expensive. You have to play this opportunistic
game.
And for me, living in that environment on a day-to-day basis just started to not work. Like, I was like, I love restaurants. I love being social. I love popping down by myself. Right? Yeah. Miami, you go to dinner by yourself, people think there's something wrong with you.
Sure, sure.
They're like, what's going on?
You feel like there's something wrong.
What happened
with
to
you?
This guy? You know? What's wrong with this guy? Why is he at the bar by himself? They just get, you know, what happened? Right? So here, some of the best nights I've ever had are the ones where I'm sitting, I just wrap up with work, and I just say, I'm putting on a fucking suit. I'm just walking down the street and I'm going to go have dinner somewhere. I mean, what a human joy that is, the freedom of that, you know, and to go in and have an experience where I'm eating, beautiful food. I'm having a good laugh. I'm interacting with big personalities. It's like a workout for your brain.
No, for
you know,
sure.
It's a sensory experience.
And sometimes it opens yourself to having some of the best experiences that you've had instead of going, you know, in a place like Miami and feeling lesser than before you even walk through the door.
That feeling of lesser than, I mean, this is my hot take. I think it's an engineered feeling of lesser than, because when you feel less than, you're inclined to overspend to enforce and to pump up your status.
Of course, you have to compensate.
Yeah. And you compensate in a direction that you wake up the next morning and you said, oh shit, I overdid that. Two examples. I was, my friend is a really great lawyer, like a attorney for celebrities and financial fraud. And he helped me out do something. Took care of me. He said, just take me out to dinner. That's all I want. So we went to this certain steakhouse in South Beach.
Okay.
And him and I, we're like workaholics, right? So sure. Neither of us have a fucking drink. We have like a mocktail or whatever. The bill was $800. I was like, dude, what just happened?
Yeah. What did we get?
Yeah. And for me, that's still a great deal. He bills, I think, $500 an hour. We're good.
Sure.
No sweat. But we both like looked at each other after the dinner and we're just like, what was that? And I you know, there's, you know, the briefcase, all this bullshit flying out of the kitchen, all this flash,
smoke and mirrors.
Some people will call this, I don't like these words, new money, old money, whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. It's just one way to do business and another way to do business.
Sure.
And I just said to myself, I feel like I'm like in Disneyland for people with too much money. Or worse, Disneyland with people, you know, of course I pick apart this shit in my content or I have in the skits, but it just was like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to keep doing this just because this is what you do here. Yeah. Like, you know, do as the Romans do. I'm not going to do this anymore. And it was like, you know, for me coming back, there's a lot of reasons why I came back to Chicago, but it was like, once I came back to Chicago, my social life just like changed and evolved, and I just got to like relax, and I'm out now four nights a week. You know, I'm Mr. like I gotta work, but I'm out four nights a week and I feel fucking great, and I feel I'm becoming more successful in the process because my mental state is just heightened.
Sure.
And I get to have great conversations with you guys, you get
to be more real and in touch with yourself. One thing I love about Chicago is there's real people in Chicago. You know, there's, of course, there's that smoke and mirrors everywhere.
Sure.
But Chicago's a real city of real people. And that's why I love to make this, you know, the home and ground zero for the brand I'm trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is an essential part of what makes us Chicagoans. And that's something I try to display in the restaurant, being real. And of course, we're going to have those tables that are those, you know, briefcase tables and, you know, spending thousands of dollars. That's great in the context, but you're never going to lose touch of accepting you when you come in by yourself and still showing you that same experience of being seen as a human being that you would get if you were at that $3,000 table. I think that's the key.
It's almost like the briefcase is designed to make in Miami is designed to make you jealous or feel like shit. Oh, I didn't order that. I guess I'm a fucking loser. You know,
yeah, sure.
I got to order something else now.
Yeah.
You know, when the guy comes back, you know, that's better than anyone. That's the nightclub bottle service mentality. But when I was at your restaurant last week or the week before, I think someone was celebrating a birthday. They had some special stuff come by, singing and sparklers. And I felt like I was celebrating with them.
Yeah. Well, I get the whole room into it too.
Yeah.
Because what better than to have strangers around you? Also,
it's even better.
You happy birthday. You know, and when the chef's out there, you know, and getting the crowd going, you feel seen.
Yeah.
You know, did that table get an $800 briefcase steak? No.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I mean, of course, it all matters long term, but you know, it's the details.
Well, you create an environment where you just want to go, period, right? So this is the X factor. In e-com land, this is called the viral coefficient. You love the product so much, you tell 1.5 people, right? Sure. And without a viral coefficient, due to the cost of digital ads on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, the Google AdWords, you go out of business. You actually can't have a long-term e-com business without a viral coefficient.
Okay.
So there was a period of time where you could pay and you could do this ARB, where you basically could float your shitty jump rope or whatever it is, and you could pay.
Yeah, force it through.
Force it through, and you can make a multiple on it. Now ads are so expensive, keywords are so bid up, that without you creating such a great product that you tell your friends, you go out of business. Now, this is like, you know, the moaning and groaning of e-com marketers. But for me, this is like, this has been the restaurant business since the beginning of time. Yeah. If you don't tell your friends about the restaurant, you guys go out of business.
Yeah, word of mouth is the strongest. It's the most priceless. It's invaluable, and you can't pay for it. It starts in the restaurant. It starts plate by plate, table by table. And I'm surrounded by some of the biggest chefs, biggest restaurant groups, a couple in the world.
Right there on the same block.
Well, and the difference is I'm going to fucking grind you out every single day. We have grit. I'm working literally plate by plate, table by table. I will grind you out or die trying. You know,
I love it.
And if you don't have that same mentality, then, you know,
don't turn up.
Don't come to play.
Oh man.
Like that's just how it is.
That's the ecosystem on, for, you know, anyone who's listening who hasn't been to Chicago yet, come to Chicago. Number one, number two, Randolph is kind of this like catwalk of great nightlife and restaurants.
You know, I actually, we had a big, you know, that's in West Loop, of course, for those that don't know, but we had a big West Loop ownership meeting where I had all the biggest developers, restaurant owners, you know, we're just generally talking about neighborhood safety. Mm-hmm. And a stat they brought up is in a 1/2 mile radius from my restaurant location, there's more James Beard award-winning chefs, Michelin stars, and accredited culinary establishments than the per capita than anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And me knowing that that's a hot spot, obviously paying the rent and trying to open a business there, right. Obviously knowing it's a hot spot, I didn't really realize the weight, the gravity of how serious.
You probably didn't want to know that. You're like,
oh shit. I mean, it puts a pressure on you.
Yeah. You're like, okay, hey guys, so, I actually didn't fucking know that.
So now it's time to get to work a little earlier than the next guy. It's time to stay at work a little later than the next guy.
Right.
Because I don't have their resources. I don't have their money. I don't, even though I have plenty of accreditation, I don't necessarily have some of the competitors' accreditation.
Sure.
So the difference is I'm going to grind you out.
Right. Right.
That's my only option.
Right.
Work harder, work better, work faster.
Right. Because at this moment, the Gino's Italian concept is one location.
Yes.
And there are some other chefs and some other businesses that we're talking about who have this global operation, more of a corporate sort of backed solution. Sure. Where they can take some
when you have, you know, 5, 10, 20, 50 restaurants,
yeah.
One closing. It's just you know, just a little bit of whiteout on an Excel spreadsheet. You right. know, press delete a couple times, you're fine.
Right.
This is make or break for me. It's not going to happen. No one's going to take it away from me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And if you're going into a fight, you know, two gladiators are going in, and one, you know, if one loses, they don't really lose too much. It's not that big of a deal. They might be more talented. They might be stronger. They might be bigger. They might be faster.
Right.
But when you fight the guy who's got nothing to fucking lose.
Yeah.
You know, who's accepted death.
Yeah, you're coming in there like Russell fucking Crowe.
As a gladiator.
Right.
That's, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Call it the Wu-Tang effect. Ain't nothing to fuck with.
Right, right. Shout out to Staten Island.
Yeah, right. Respect.
Do you consider yourself a startup? How do you think about your business?
Yeah, I technically the business would be a startup. I don't consider myself a startup. You know, in a lot of ways, the business is a reflection of my brand, our brand, of some of the partners I've put together, we've put together. So it technically is a startup, but I consider myself an institution that's been in the city for a while. My family name is part of, you know, what has made the culinary scene in Chicago. You ask any Italian, you ask any restaurateur, someone in the business, they know my family name. They know the product and the quality that we've been putting forth for years. Mm. It's part of the story that we tell at Gino's Italian and Gino and Marty's.
even though that might be a startup in that location and this might be a new chapter of that story. But yeah, I mean, we're part of the fabric of what makes the city great.
Social media just, you know, and I'm part of the problem sometimes. It's just, you see certain types of businesses over and over and over again, and you get fed, you know, this, especially young people, they're like, I could do drop shipping. I could create a digital agency. You know, no one sees the breadth of what you can do. Yeah. And for me, it's important to showcase the businesses that I think matter a lot to a city. How do you see a lot of young, because your staff is very young.
Yeah. So some of them are definitely young.
Very young.
Yeah.
I mean, are these people, are you seeing an influx of talent and interest in the restaurant business, in hospitality, or is it kind of like still?
For most, it's a stepping stone, you know, which I'm okay with. Your experience at one of my businesses is just part of your story. I understand that. You're probably going to be temporary. I think this business, no matter what you do in life, no matter what career you are, I always tell everyone you should do a year or two in hospitality. It'll teach you some humility. It'll teach you about people. It'll teach you how to think about on your feet. It'll teach you how to problem solve, right? It'll get the best of you some points. And then sometimes you'll feel so victorious and, you know, unbeatable at the same time. Going through those variety of emotions is really important in anything you do. So whether I'm part of your story for a couple weeks or a couple years, I understand that. And all I hope is, you know, and a real power for me is having that long lasting effect on what the future of this city will be, whoever those minds will become. And I think that's pretty cool.
It's cool because you're setting a precedent. Obviously you have the background, right? You see how your family built, you know, that business. Bartucci is your other...
Bartucci is my first restaurant.
First restaurant. 8 years. How many years?
9 years.
9 years.
Celebrating 9 years.
Yeah. Nine short years. Nine years is no joke, right?
Oh, shit.
In the restaurant business.
Yeah. I mean, statistically, it's
impossible.
It's less than 1% probability.
Yeah. So to move into this, you cut your teeth with, you know, to the third power, your teeth. But you pulled this off in a competitive market. To me, that's interesting and inspiring. And it's not the usual path, man. I mean, did you feel compelled to, you know, were your parents like my parents, like, hey, you could go to Wall Street, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, or did they say, hey, we've got this family business, we want you involved in the family business?
You know,
Italians can go either way.
Yeah. It could have went a lot of ways. My path is definitely not the planned path. It's not a recommended path. It's not a path that I'd like to do again. Mm-hmm. But it was a path that chose me, you know? And you just have to, like I said earlier, you have to be real with who you are and let the path show you the way. Looking back, I wouldn't have it any other way. I tell stories. I've been through shit. I've been hardened. I've been humbled. It's part of why we're here today talking about it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I also wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy at the same time. Like, shit. I mean, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And there's been several times where I've almost been to the brink where it's killed me. Right. Growing up, my dad was very old school in saying, this is what I've built and I want my son to run it one day.
Okay.
Okay, sure. But you want me to run it how you want me to run
it.
You don't want me to run it for what it can be.
Mm.
You want me to run it as your employee. You know, that's different. You know, and I did put in that effort in my first couple of years of, you know, my adult working life, let's say in high school and, you know, work programs and shortly after high school, until I realized, you know what, you keep it. I'm going to go do my own thing. I moved to the city broke. I was homeless for a couple months. I was promoting, might have did some extracurricular activities to make some money here and there.
Right.
And it was just a hustle to refuse to lose and to find my own way.
And then I worked my way up, you know, probably the youngest food and beverage director of a top 200 hotel in the nation, 10 years younger than any of my colleagues in the business working for other hotels. And then, you know, I've put most of that money back into my family property, which I opened Bartucci next door to my pasta shop, but I did it on my terms. And now I've found a way to circle back to what was important to me and what my dad visioned that I could and should be and what he wanted my path to be, but I had to do it my own way.
Right.
And then, yeah, Bartucci, I grinded it out super hard. First couple of years, I was losing money constantly.
Yeah.
You know.
But you chose it.
Yeah.
You chose it. You made it your own.
My own way. And if you fail at it, there's nothing wrong because I did it my own way.
Right. Yeah, it's when you fail at something that you didn't want to do anyway, right? Because there's all those the safe options, right? Hey, let me go to Wall Street. Okay, in 2008, I watched people getting fired left and right for no fucking reason.
Yeah, sure.
I'll never forget when there was another guy from who's a bit older than me, but he went to Cornell, so I felt like I had someone in my corner on the floor, and it was like I was like, I got a friend, I'm gonna make it, right? And they fired him for no reason.
Yeah.
For absolutely, because on Wall Street, it's at will. They don't need to provide a reason. They just fire you because they feel like it. So, of course, this was during the financial crisis. It was a nightmare time to be on the street. And I just said, oh, wait, you could work your whole life to get here, which I did. And then you get fired for no reason.
For no reason.
This is insane.
Yeah.
This is insane. So, you know, and I toughed it out or was learning and I just stuck around so damn long where I probably should have been like, all right, Nick, let's do it. Let's do it your way a little bit sooner than later. And it took me, you know, it took me quite a while to figure out what that even was. Because I bought the hook, line, and sinker of go to good school, get sure. straight A's, get a good, go to a great college, then go to Wall Street.
Hey, and then for a lot of people that works and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also, you know, I don't want to say a cop out, but when you fail doing that, you failed because of somebody else.
Yeah.
You failed because of these items or reasons that are intangible that weren't affected by you. When you come back or when you do things yourself, you fail your fucking self. You failed your own self on the inside. You failed people around you. You failed people that believed in you. Mm-hmm. That's why I think most people are afraid to break out and do your own thing like you did or be an entrepreneur as I am, because there's no more excuses. You know, I could have followed my dad's path and then, you know, been a miserable 35, 38 year old, whatever, and said, oh, it was because of my dad, or I never should have did this, or, you know, I failed for multiple reasons. But now if I fail, I failed because I failed, because I wasn't good enough. And there's a whole lot more weight.
Yeah,
to doing that, which makes it a whole lot more important, right?
Let me give you one more reason why you should consider being an entrepreneur if you're sitting cranky in your job right now. When you win, it's an empty win.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the feeling of make-believe money. When I got my bonus, I finally got the big one.
Sure.
I got a blank check to go start my business at UBS. I made up a fucking number that I thought no one would ever pay me. They paid it.
Yeah.
You know, I upgraded my lifestyle. Nothing had gravity to it. I felt like it was all a fucking joke. I felt like an imposter and a fraud. So I got the money, but I didn't feel rich. If that makes any sense. Like,
yeah,
I was rich, but I wasn't rich, because to me, being really rich is a feeling and an attitude. It's not a bank number. So I was just this kid that had this amount of money that I feel like I didn't really deserve or own or understand. And it was, it never sat right with me. And now when I make, you know, if I sell a book, right, my royalty on the book is $8. That fucking
happens to be one of the number one on Amazon.
That's right, baby.
No big deal. I'm just saying, if you do it,
that's right. If you were to do it,
if you were to do it,
yeah, the Entrepreneur's Field Guide is number one on Amazon right now. If you're so inclined, thanks to the shadow, baby. Appreciate
anytime,
that.
Anytime.
That $8 from that royalty feels better than $1 million on Wall Street.
Yeah.
It feels so good, so real, because you say, I did this, I got that.
But that's as an entrepreneur, that's where you have to take those times to smell the roses and enjoy those little victories yourself. Mm-hmm. Because on the grand scale of things, you know, if my restaurant
fails, it's because Gino failed. Mm. It's my failure. Mm-hmm. If my restaurant succeeds, it's because we succeeded together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to get that satisfaction unless I enjoy the people having those moments, the smiles I put on your dad's face.
Right.
The feeling of you being seen as an individual person. Those are my little wins.
Yeah.
Because as an entrepreneur, if we win, it's because of my team and my partners and we all won together. Woohoo.
Right.
The minute I fail, it's because, Gino, you failed.
Right.
And you're alone.
You and are we'll always, fucking
and we'll always
alone.
Be alone. Get comfortable with it.
Uh-huh.
And find the beauty in the small things, that little royalty on your book.
Yeah.
Those are the small things. That's what makes it worthwhile. That's the why behind what you do, right?
When you fail and it's all on you and it's that lonely position, the silver lining is that if you take a deep breath, you did actually learn something.
Yeah. Every time.
As opposed to when you failed at the law firm or you failed at whatever, I always pick on these types of things, but which is totally unfair. You don't really know why you failed. There's so many hands in it. There's so much shared ownership.
Sure.
You did a fraction of the work. You really don't know why you failed. And I think if you gave me two paths and you said, Nick, you can kind of not know why you failed, not know why you succeeded. You're never going to be broke. You're never going to be crazy rich, but you're never going to be broke. You're never going to fucking sleep in a rat infested fucking apartment in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Like I've done. Yeah. Like, you know, you're never, but you're never going to be rich. Right. Sure. Or you can go to the wood. You can have no money. People can think you're a fucking loser. People can think you're crazy, or people can think you're a genius. People can buy your book. People could do this. People could do that. You get the highest highs, man, and the lowest lows. Choose your destiny.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
You know,
it's a very good way to put it.
I'm going to be sleeping with the rats, or I'm going to be sleeping in the mansion, in the loft. That's the bet. That's the path I'm going to take.
I roll that dice every day, baby.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'm pumped up right now.
Got the hot hand.
I'm pumped up right now.
Yeah. No, that's how it should be though. And honestly, like if you're going into any type of business for yourself and entrepreneurship, get comfortable with failing, accept it, actually embrace it, because there's nothing that's going to make you better than knowing how to do something the wrong way, because you're only one step closer in finding the right way to do that thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been some of the best growth for me, you know, unfortunately, and as costly as it might have been. But
sure.
Yeah, go out and fucking fail, own it, learn from it, and you will get better. And you won't find that at a law firm. You won't find that at an accounting firm. Someone else is always to blame
right. For
your failure.
You're sharing, really what you're doing is you're sharing failure and you're sharing victory.
Yeah. True.
So you're sharing both. That's the reason why, you know, what I like to say is let's pretend you put in 100% of value. You have this big block of value, you put it out. You just get 5% back, right? Because you've also haven't taken 100% of when shit goes wrong. When Bobby across the hallway gets caught doing something weird in the bathroom and, you know.
Bobby fucked it up for all of us.
Right. Well, the crazy thing was when I was on Wall Street, right? It was rogue trader after rogue trader. I was like, wait a second, you know, there's probably areas of the story I can't tell, but let's just say that I had seen a lot of this stuff operating and it took everyone else down.
Yeah.
And no one did anything about it. No one said, you know, if you see something, say something. You know, if you see a guy in a fucking trench coat get on the subway with something under his coat. It's the two paths. I think the people that listen to the show, I think the people that follow my content, they're either on this path already or more likely they're curious about it.
Sure.
You know, entrepreneurship curious, right? You know, solopreneur curious, whatever it is. And you know, what I'm trying to prove out over the long run is that this type of thinking, whether you choose to do it or not, but understanding how this type of thinking works, it future proofs you, because in the future, there's a lot less easy jobs, a lot less, you know, well, there's no such thing as a fucking pension anymore. Lord knows here in Chicago, sure. We understand that on a visceral level. We're not going to go there, but it's like there are less and less of these safe things, right? the safe things are actually secretly dangerous because you could get let go at any time or have an environment like COVID and things just disappear, right? Yeah. So learning this these skills, whether you go out into the woods like we've chosen to do or not, I think is really, really critical. And you start to then like look around you and see all the entrepreneurs around you and you kind of go, oh, I didn't see those guys before. I go to Gino's. I didn't think of Gino as an entrepreneur.
Sure.
You know, I go to this hotel. I didn't think of this guy as an entrepreneur, right? Or we're in a podcasting studio right now. We got Tom right here. Tom's an entrepreneur.
Love Tom. Shout out to Tom.
Shout out to Tom, Chicago podcast studio, right? It's like, look around us. There's entrepreneurs everywhere.
Yeah.
All around us. And to me, this is, there's nothing more American than being a fucking entrepreneur. I mean, this is like, come on, guys, just give it a shot and see what happens, right? This is the most exciting way and the most terrifying way to live your life out here on the fringes. But that's what I think this podcast is
the most valuable too. You know, and I always tell someone this, you know, if you think you're worth something, to your employers and you're part of that big group. And you know, where we're talking about when you fail, you know, you're only a little part of it. If I'm going to hire somebody and you're making 80-100 grand a year, 120 grand a year, and everyone thinks they should get a raise, right? I've never met anybody that doesn't think they should get a raise.
Sure.
Okay. Well, if you're worth that money, as an employer, to justify my labor costs, right? If I'm paying you 100 grand a year, you need to be directly bringing me in 300 grand extra
at a multiple,
or more,
right? At a multiple,
right?
Everyone should understand this, right?
To have my labor for you under 30%.
Yes.
And even at 30%, I'm still not making that much money.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be worth that and you really believe that you're worth that amount of money, then go fucking be worth it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference of entrepreneurs to people that work for other people. Next time you ask your boss for a raise, really look at yourself and say, am I worth this amount of money? Because if I didn't get this guaranteed paycheck, could I go out tomorrow and be worth this much or more?
Sure.
And if you really fucking think so, then go do it.
Sure.
You should be an entrepreneur.
Or, and here's the third way. I think there's a third way. I think the third way is, you know, I want the 100. I got to pull in 300. Okay. Then now you've become an entrepreneur inside another business.
Sure. Well, you've made yourself indispensable.
Yes.
Right. Make yourself indispensable.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've got guys and gals at your, whether it's Bartucci or whether it's Gino's, that are doing entrepreneurial things like this.
Back to the young kids. That's what separates the young kids. The ones that are willing to go above and beyond and work above their paycheck.
I mean, I have one of your...
This is what I'm adding.
Yeah. I mean, I have one of your front of house members in my phone, you know, for that last minute.
I love
it. Yeah,
yeah.
And he's a young guy.
Yeah, no, I love it.
And I'm thinking to myself...
This kid's stepping up. He's making connections. It's not about the money you're making. You're at a place like Gino's, you're going to meet your next employer. Mm. If you're young, if I'm in my early 20s, it's not about a serving job. It's about putting me in contact with the people who are going to change my future. Put yourself in a position to succeed, you know?
Well, that's just all that is a mind. That's a mindset shift, because then you've given real deep meaning to why you're there.
Yeah.
And it's not a marketing pitch or,
no, I
you
tell
know,
my
a pump up.
All the
it's
time.
Real.
Today's guest might be tomorrow's employer for you.
Right.
You know, and that's something to think about.
It's real. It's not a trick, by the way.
We were just talking about Ace of Spades taking care of me at the Beyonce concert.
Yeah.
You know, and I was lucky enough to be standing next to Jay-Z the whole time.
Yeah.
And there's a Jay-Z line that I love. It's either you're either overpaid or underrated.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And everyone is one or the other.
Yeah.
If you think that you are the underrated, more the reason to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right? Because one thing I will never be in my life is overpaid, and I'll make sure that I'm not overpaid.
Yeah.
So if you're underrated, that's where you go out and you find those opportunities. That's where you go out and you know, no amount of money is enough, and you need to keep going for yourself. You need to go make those connections. You got to be that young 22-year-old kid serving tables. It's not about the money you're making. It's about what you can do, you know.
And you're in the... I think too many people look at life like, okay, it's a job and I do. It's like every day, this is your sandbox. Every day is a play that you get to move the pieces around and you sure. get to do. It's all for you. It's all you're an entrepreneur of your own life, no matter what you do. Right. So I have a little game I like to play. Like when I go to the Walgreens or the CVS to buy some fucking whatever, right? Buy a soda, right? Buy a Gatorade, right? I just like to say something funny.
Sure.
To the cashier.
Yeah, a little shit test.
Just like a little funny thing, or I ask for something strange. Like I just like
I
do.
Like it. Yeah, keep you know, it fresh.
I'm, yeah. I'm like, hey, there's only one Muscle Milk in the back. And the guy's like, okay, I go, I need my Muscle Milk. And the guy laughs.
I need at least six.
I was like, I need that Muscle Milk. And the guy laughs. And I'm just like, that moment was, it proves that the world is a lot more flexible and plastic than you think it is. The walls aren't hard. The walls are made out of fucking rice paper. Yeah. So it's like people that understand that or hear this and go, oh, really? I could just say some crazy shit and people laugh instead of freak out. You know, the Matrix doesn't just rip in half when I say, I need the Muscle Milk. Like the guy doesn't just like short circuit and fall on the ground like a fucking robot. Right. He makes a quip, a laugh. And then I walk home just having a positive social interaction that enriched my day and made me feel a little bit more confident, a little bit smarter. And imagine stitching together 100 of these moments throughout the course of your day in a restaurant environment, in a bar environment. You know, I'm not going to the bar to achieve this fucking goal or whatever the fuck. It's like, I'm going to just play in the sandbox of life.
A lot of those little moments definitely make it more valuable for sure.
To me, that's what life is.
Yeah. You're absolutely, that's a great way to put it.
It's that playfulness, you know, let's face it. Your young entrepreneurial staff, they understand this playfulness.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Nick, I know you're last minute. Okay. Sometimes you just show up. Why don't you just text me?
Yeah.
I go, be careful what you, I said, be careful what you wish for, kid. Yeah. I'm going to fucking text you.
Yeah.
And I just started to text him.
You know, but that's how it should
this
be.
This is not how you get a reservation at Gino's Italian.
Yeah. Don't be texting a lot of young staff. No, but that's how it should be though. And you know, and one thing you'll find at the restaurant, you know, I'm not going after, you know, the top dining, you know, Michelin star places. For me, an Italian experience is a vibrant one. It's one that is, you know, I grew up and you knew when people loved you, it was because they were busting your balls. Right? Like talking shit a little bit means mm-hmm. we're friends. Mm-hmm. If we're not, I'm going to be respectful. Hey, Nick, great to see you. And if we're really good friends, I'm going to be like, oh, that fucking shirt again. Like,
right.
Look at you.
Right.
You know, where'd you buy that? Like you take that out of my uncle's closet. But something
this
like
probably
that.
Is the same yeah. shirt, by no, the way, that your
I
uncle
mean, you're
fucking.
Wearing, you're wearing a white DV. Like, yeah, it's kind of, you're missing this little gold chain.
It's a vibe.
You can be a family member. Put some slippers and some tall black socks on you.
It's a vibe.
When it comes to the servers, people should have a good time. I want service to be proper. I don't want it to be pretentious. I don't want servers to worry about the specific, you know, of course you need to know where the silverware goes and decent etiquette,
right?
I don't want people to get so wrapped up into the formalities of dining where we forget to just fucking have fun. You know, I'm going to come to the table. I'm going to make some jokes. I might swear a little bit. Sometimes people are like, oh my God, chef just said the F word.
Right.
Why are you here?
Right.
Have fun. Let your hair down. Relax. Take the stick out of your ass. We'll all laugh together. This is what an Italian family's like. This is what an Italian experience is like.
Yeah.
This is why people go to restaurants. Oh, the music's too loud. Not the place for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, it should be. But I love to hear that you say that about my staff because I want my staff to feel like they could take care of you.
Yeah.
Like they could take care of somebody. And if I see a young guy saying, squeezing in a late reservation, most restaurateurs, most places that do the volume that have the demand that we do would, you know, discredit it, reprimand it. And instead I try to, you know, nourish it.
Yeah.
And I try to make them feel a little bit of ownership. And then that next table they talk to, they're going to be a little more loose with and say,
yeah.
Hey, my name is Gino. Can't wait to see you back.
Right. Right.
You know, whatever you need, I got you. Even though he's a 22-year-old kid.
Right.
You
right. know. But that's, he's taking, and I've seen it, he and she, they take, it's having a little bit of a owner's mentality.
Yeah.
Thinking like an owner.
Empowering.
Yeah.
Empowering people.
And those people are the ones that rise to the ranks.
Yeah.
I heard that our friend here is already rising through the ranks.
Yeah, I put him within a year. I don't know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. He's already doing some supervisory shifts. Yeah. We can't forget that when we talk about the human experience or what we're selling, mm-hmm. it's not just about guests. Part of my job is a big part of my job that people don't see is off hours. Is off the floor. That part of my job is nurturing these youth, having people drink the Kool-Aid, creating these minds and molding them into people that can benefit themselves and myself and the business growth in the future.
Right.
You know, like I'm empowering them. Part of their experience is also, they also want to be seen. Mm-hmm. They also want to be appreciated. They also want to have a healthy, fun work environment. All of the same attributes my guests want. Staff should be feeling at certain points and need, and then they want to grow with you.
Right.
And they'll go to bat for you, you know, and they trust you, and that now they're part of the culture. Now you're creating something that's bigger than just Gino. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's the goal, and that's where future scalability comes in.
Also, the way I'm seeing it is if you're paying attention, you're also learning the skills of entrepreneurship at the restaurant via osmosis, via talking with customers, sure. via talking with you, staff meetings. You're just picking up on it if you're taking it seriously, or if you are giving yourself permission to take it seriously,
yeah,
or you know that the world is efficient. And really works this way. And if you pay attention and you learn a bunch, you can apply it down the road. So it's just this, it's an environment that does that for its staff, for its analysts, for its whatever, partners. Like that's an environment that you want to be in. That's an environment, that's the only environment where you learn something. If you're handed us in, you know, and my business is we have standard operating procedures, fucking this thick. But other than that, you guys, we're going to go in the morning meeting and you're going to hear me just wax poetic about whatever the fuck is going on. You're going to be like, this is how Nick thinks. And this is how, you know,
I'm a Chicago Italian. We live our lives in the gray areas, mm-hmm. right? It's all the rules and SOPs are fantastic. It gives you a foundation, but you have to maneuver and massage things to what works. Mm. And if you are going to be an entrepreneur, there's too many people that I see that go into it and they can't wait to be the boss. Right? Like they created something. Now you work for me. Mm-hmm. Just as if any of you guys have children at home, your kids will do what you do, not what you say. And in a lot of ways, my staff are extensions and I treat them as my family and my children. They will embody and become what I'm doing, not what I'm saying. I could tell you to come to work on time
right.
every day, but if I'm coming in late, they yeah. will not respect that. They will not do that. They will not come in on their own early. If they know that I'm there on time every day, they're doing what I do, not as what I say. Mm-hmm. You know, this first year that we're open and we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary, the level of tables I touch, the amount of work I put in, the amount of things I'm looking at from lights to music to guests at the door, to plates coming out and, mm-hmm. you know, everything in between. These young kids are feeding, are sponging off of it. And I'm seeing them now step up and be empowered and come up with their own ideas and start to realize that they're becoming different versions of themselves, that they're flourishing without even noticing.
Right.
You know, they're these little flowers that are kind of blossoming into flowers and colors that they've never conceived of themselves before.
Right.
And I think as an entrepreneur, like get that fucking ego out of the way. Like be the example, go do that. And then, you know, years from now, you could go be that boss on your high horse someday, sure. But you'll never get there without being that example.
And I think you'll never be, if you're effective, you'll never be on the high horse.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I mean, that's my argument. You know, when someone walks into your restaurant, can you tell who is a big shot and who's not a big shot? How do you define a big shot?
Yes and no. I mean, I would say most of the time up until now, you know, no, not really too much. Now I, you know, I'm in the business of people more so than food or drink. Right. So I look at little things. You know, there's a vibe that people carry themselves with. There's a certain air that you can smell of the real people. But then again, you get surprised. I mean, there's people that come in with the shorts and you know, what looks like a dirty t-shirt, you know, and I just found out they just sold a fucking tech company for $200 million.
Right.
You know, and that was like, that was their side project. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I have a friend who's kind of like a fat, sloppy dude, and he just bought his second PJ, where it's like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like, like my security would deny you from coming in. Like, please announce yourself. You know? But because the classics are, you know, look at the watch, look at the shoes.
But you know it's deeper than that.
It's so much deeper than that now. But it's not just me making that decision or noticing those people anymore, because I truly do, no bullshit. I treat everyone like they're on that level.
Yeah.
And I get, you could say I get lucky. Uh-huh. You know, make the joke, I get lucky to where I'm treating that person that actually is that 100 millionaire, that billionaire. I'll just so happen to treat that person as if.
Right.
But I treat everybody like that. And for me, that's a blanket statement. But even in the kitchen where, you know, let's say you're sitting at a table 32, I'll yell to the kitchen, okay, table 32, VIP. All my staff says, everyone's a VIP, chef. Mm. Fantastic. Fuck yeah. They're all VIPs. Mm. Now, of course, those little things you have to kind of massage through the time, because my door guy doesn't necessarily think like that. And he's still looking at shoes and watches and the girl you're with or the girl you pull up in. You know, and it's
you can play that game, guys. It's easy enough to play that game.
There's a lot of variables.
Yeah. It's easy enough to play this game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is the one thing you can just learn and play. Everything else on the emotional level. When we like the air of someone walking to a restaurant, like to me, it's just being okay with you. Yeah. That's what the air is. Yeah. It's just being okay with you.
I remember the first time you came in to the restaurant. You had this, and this was a while ago, and I remember specifically you had this beautiful suede tuxedo jacket on, right? And you were with other people that was well-dressed, but you stood out because of how you walked into the room, how you held it, you know? You had a creepy mustache that would not work for anybody else.
It's still my trademark, but
you crushed it. And right? And you had these sunglasses in late night. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
And immediately I was like, this guy real knows real. Mm-hmm. Like, I like this guy already. And I immediately walked up to the table saying, hey guys, how you doing? I'm Gino. Let's all be friends.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was a legendary night.
For sure. As I'm glad to hear that, as it should have been, as you guys deserve that. And part of the reason we're here today, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But treat everyone like that VIP. I mean, I didn't know you from anyone else.
Whether you're head to toe in velvet or not.
Or not. Or not.
That's an advanced technique, everyone. I do not recommend
that. That's part of the masterclass series. Yeah. Will be available two episodes
that
from now.
Part of the course you do have to pay for. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Personal styling with Nicholas Crown. To me, I use the personal style and fashion as a little bit of self-respect, and it's kind of like a fun, it's an interest I have.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. It's part of what makes you you, and you own it, though. It's not in a tacky way. It's not because you're trying too hard. But, you know, even my dad would say, you know, when you grow up and, you know, a man should never leave the house wearing shorts. Mm-hmm. It's not because, you know, they were peasants in Italy. It's not because they were like rich or trying to be someone. It was because you should hold yourself in a certain respect as a gentleman. People will judge you differently, you know, if you're a grown man wearing shorts. So like to this day, like, I don't know why I just fucking don't wear shorts.
Right. You know? I don't wear shorts either. I don't know if it's because I heard what your dad said or I read an article somewhere, but or my dad says the same freaking thing. Or it's a self-respect, and I think it's a respect for everyone around you.
Yeah. But back to what you were saying, you know, you're your own business. Like, even if you work for someone else, you're creating your brand in the eyes of whoever's paying you, mm-hmm. your employers or whoever that is. Wouldn't you always want to put in the best face You know, when someone talks to you, don't you try to give them the best answer? When someone smiles at you, shouldn't you try to give them the best smile in return? So even though you might not be opening your own LLC, you might not be your own technical entrepreneur, every one of us is our own brand. I would consider that entrepreneurs in our own respect. What are you doing to benefit your brand every day? What are you doing to grow every day? Your buyer, in this case, your client is your boss, the mm-hmm. person paying for you. So what are you doing to increase the value of your product on a daily basis? What will your client, will they pay more for it? Or will they kind of get tired and old of it and pay less for it or eventually not need it? That's a decision you make when you wake up every day.
I'll push it a step further. I think every single person you interact with throughout the course of your day is a customer.
Yeah.
So it's not just your boss.
Yeah.
It's the person, the barista that makes you coffee. It's this, it's anyone that you come into contact with. I just happen to go immediately to get an espresso after the gym. That's how I roll. And that's how I set the tone for the day.
Yeah.
It's a joke. It's a funny observation. It's something to just get the juices flowing. And, you know, I've made countless skits and observations about how this thing becomes magic and how the coffee miraculously presents itself for free when there's a line out the door. The coffee miraculously presents itself ready to go when I'm in a rush. You know, guys, the everything is controlled by people.
Yes.
You don't just get, oops, I got rich. Oops, I'm famous. Oops, I'm, how did you get rich? Well, someone...
This person just happened to take care of me.
Yeah.
No.
And do that at scale. So I played this thought experiment where you leave your house and every single person you interact with, you have a positive experience. The compounding effect on that over the course of a few weeks, months, years, whatever, is enormous.
I like that.
I showed up to Chicago basically by accident. I said, I need to go somewhere where I could just work and be in a normal friggin' place. You know, where things are, I can work here, that there's talent, whatever. This is years ago, my first Chicago run. This is Chicago run number two. Within a year, it was like, I felt like my life was like the movie Cheers or the TV show Cheers, where everyone knows your name. And I just said, holy shit, you know, sure, this is Chicago's goodness and, you know, kindness. But it was the way, the attitude that I brought to town. Because I'm older, I'm smarter, and sure. I've been through shit, and I treat people a certain way now. And I said, man, I've treated people this way every day, or as much as I can, and every day is not perfect, for this year. And now looking back on what I've achieved socially on with, you know, even waving at the guy watering the plants in front of the car, like I just was like, holy shit. I walk through the day and it's fun, smiles, quips.
And that's your immediate perspective. You don't know what kind of unrealized potential has been gained from all those other people that you've interacted with.
Right.
That could have potentially been the small little step, the catalyst to change their life for a more positive, or they started affecting other people, or they felt a little better about themselves.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, you could be responsible for the next president of the United States because you said something good to someone's dad.
Yeah.
You know, that then created that next person, you know, like who knows, but
that's
a beautiful thing to do. That's a great practice.
It's, and I believe it's real.
Yeah.
And I'll go through the labor of making an economic text on how this is real. It's someday soon. But this is, if you can, this is at everyone's fingertips. It's free.
Yeah.
It's pretty freaking easy to do. And you get better over time.
It's immediately satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It really is. And I see eye to eye with you because that's something I've always done and was taught to do, you know, treat the janitor like you would the CEO.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it definitely makes a difference. It makes a positive impact on your life and an unrealized positive impact on people around you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're actually, by being kind, my argument is that you're actually handing something out that's valuable. So, and value can't be destroyed in society. There's a memory. So if I'm kind to you, you'll never forget. You can't forget it. Yeah. It's in our DNA. We just can't forget good acts and kind acts. And it's going above and beyond. It doesn't, you know, so it doesn't go unnoticed over time, over the long run. It doesn't go unnoticed.
I'm obviously a big fan and practicer of what you're preaching. As you can see in the restaurant, you might have forgotten what you've eaten that night. Mm-hmm. You might have forgot what drinks you had, but you didn't forget your experience with me, mm-hmm. right? And that's the fucking business we're in, is the memory business. We're out there selling memories, selling experiences, you know, and I want that to last. I don't remember what I ate at some of the best restaurants, but I remember that it was the best meal because of several other factors. So that's what I try to create. And I think that's the experience that you've got. And hopefully that's the experience that most of my customers will say too, is that memorable experience that lasts with it, because you take a little time to be genuine and to recognize people and make them feel good, mm-hmm. you know, and not because there's like an immediate transaction or value to you.
Yeah. And I mean, we easily could not be talking about food and drink right now. We could be talking about software. We could be talking to help desk.
Apply it to anything in life.
When I started my AI company, I'm the chatbot. I sit in the chat because I want to learn as much as possible before bringing on professional customer support.
Sure.
And everyone thinks that's just not true. You know, the Grubhub guys were delivering burritos for the first 2 or 3 months, right? Just to understand the workflow and the process. But to bring that owner's mentality to your first few customers is like fucking high octane fuel to those first relationships who will never forget the care that you provided. I don't know a better way to do it.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out a better way to do it than this.
For meeting your dad, though, that's the little bit that I have kind of felt off him and see off him. You know, you're cut from the same cloth. I feel the same thing about my parents. You have to be brought up with that. And if you're not brought up with that, you have to realize how important that is.
You have to do some work.
Bringing up the cheers comment, you know, earlier in the interview, I was actually going to compare my place and how I do things to Cheers. You know, like looking at Cheers, it's not like the most impressive bar. It's not like they have some top mixologist making you crazy fucking cocktails for Carl and, you know, the other characters.
For those of
the
people who don't know, Cheers is a long-running television show about a popular bar, where was the bar based?
I think it was in, was it New York or Boston?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it's a neighborhood bar.
But it's a bar that could have been in any city in America. And their slogan was, where everybody knows your name.
Right.
Yeah. But okay, so think about that concept is, you know, back to what we were saying about no matter what business you're in, your clients, people you work with, customers in general want to be seen. It's our human experience, you know, and saying your place is like Cheers, you know, which I was going to compare it to before you said it. Now I have to comment on it because you brought up Cheers, you know, we're definitely on the same page. But to make a place where even if people don't know who you are, they act as if, or make you feel that they know your name, that you are an individual, that you're not just a dollar amount walking through the door. That's the power of human connection. That's a beautiful thing.
And if you can do that, you have probably made someone feel better and more special than they felt the entire day or the entire week. And they will, without knowing it, reward you over and over and over and over again for that type of experience.
And if they don't, someone else will. And you shouldn't be looking for that reward always, but it will happen. It will amount to something. You talk to enough people and do it enough times. And at the end, if it doesn't, it'll amount something to you. You'll feel better at night when you're by yourself.
This is awesome, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Honestly, my pleasure.
People know where to find Gino's Italian.
844 West Randolph, right next door to the Nobu Hotel, between Grand and Peoria. I'm sorry, between Peoria and Green Street on Randolph.
And I might see you there.
Yeah,
because I'm there all the freaking time.
I'm sure I'll see you there sometime soon.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely,
on, bro.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. For sure.